folks out there, this is your old chief quizzer himself, Joe Kelly, presenting America's famous quiz kids. Well, I know you quiz kids and all you youngsters listening in are all excited about going back to school this week. Says so right here, anyway. Anyway, I hope you've all had a wonderful summer vacation. And as for you quiz kids, we'll go back to school right now with your very first question for today. Here it is. Why would you be wise to choose a spot for your Labor Day picnic near a good supply of Gambusia affinis? While you're thinking about that one, we'll have roll call. So here we go with first Lonnie.
I'm Lonnie Lundy. I'm 14 years old, and in the fall I will be a sophomore at Maine Township High School in Park Ridge, Illinois.
Patrick.
I'm Patrick Owen Conlon. I'm 13 years old, and Tuesday I'll be entering high school.
Joel.
I'm Joel Coverman. I'm 14 years old, and I'm a junior at Rosewood High School.
Harvey.
I'm Harvey Deitch. I'm 7 years old. I go to Hibbert School. I'm grade 3B.
And last but not least, Angus.
My name is Angus Perez Marchet. I am 5 years old. I go to the University of Chicago. My name is Angus Perez Marchet. I am 5 years old.
Well, good for you. There's nothing like double-checking, Angus. And you go to the University of Chicago school, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, that's right. Well...
Chicago school.
Yes, that's what I mean, yeah. I didn't want them to think that you were going to college, you know. After all, you're only 5 years of old age, and you have a long time. Well, anyway, back to that first question, which is a tip to all you listeners who are planning a Labor Day picnic. Why would you be wise to choose a picnic spot near a good supply of Gambusia affinis? Harvey.
Well, isn't that the mosquito fish? And it eats all the mosquitoes.
That's right, Harvey. That's just what it is, the mosquito fish. Did you want to say something else, Harvey?
Yeah, it is. In about one day, it has eaten 100 mosquito larvae.
Oh, I should say so. You wouldn't have any mosquitoes around at your picnic then, would you?
It's a 2-inch minnow.
And then we could get an anteater there. We'd be all set with it. All right, well, that's number one. Now, here is a test that requires some quick thinking, kids. You are to try to name one-third of the presidents of the United States in 30 seconds. I'll call on one of you to start it off, and if you hesitate or get stuck, another quiz kid can continue until the 30 seconds are up. Let's see. Angus's hand was up first, so we'll start off with Angus. I'll count three, and then you can start now, and then we can start the watch here. One, two, three. All right.
George Washington.
Right.
John Adams.
Right.
Thomas Jefferson.
Correct.
James Madison. James Monroe. John Quincy Adams. Andrew Jackson. Martin Van Buren. William Harrison. And John Taylor. James Knox Polk. Zachary Taylor. Millard Fillmore. Franklin Pierce. And James Buchanan. Abraham Lincoln. Andrew Johnson. Ulysses Grant. Rutherford Hayes. And James Garfield, Chester Arthur, Grover Cleveland.
Oh, time is up. Oh, my goodness. How do you like that, folks? For 5 years old.
Franklin,
he's still going on.
Of United
Go ahead,
Mr. Harry Truman.
Well, what do you know about it? That is amazing. He gave us all of them there. Well, that's very, very good, Angus. You're a very fine boy, and I'm very proud of you. Well, now let's see. Here's number three. Let's see if you listeners can beat the quiz kids at answering this question. I'm going to read you the names of three well-known animals, except that the letters have been juggled around a bit, and you are to identify the name of the animal. This is rather tough, and I will be satisfied if you get two out of three. All right, now the first one is Snore Choir. Harvey.
Rhinoceros,
that's a boy. That's right. I wonder how many of the folks out there got that one. Now here, the next one is A Lone Pet. A Lone Pet.
Lonnie.
Antelope.
Antelope, that's right, Lonnie. And here is the last one now. The last one is Chumpkin. Pat?
That's a chipmunk.
Chipmunk? Oh, boy, say, that wasn't as tough as I thought it was. No siree. Now I'm going to ask our announcer, Mike Flannery, to help us with this question. We are to pretend that he used to be a chemist and recently changed his job to sports announcing. He's at present out at the ballpark describing a game, but he occasionally gets a few chemistry terms mixed in with his sports. If you substitute chemical symbols for the numbers you hear and the numbers of elements for the elements you hear, you can figure out what he's talking about. All right, here we go to the ball game.
Well, here we are in the ninth inning, folks. The score is tied, beryllium and beryllium.
Pat.
Well, that's 4-4.
That's right, 4-4. The number of beryllium.
Robinson is up. Here's the pitch. Oh, he lays into it. It's a beaut. It's going way, way out to left field, and 16, 18, 92, 68 is under it.
Pat?
Well, let's see. 16 is sulfur.
Sulfur.
And what was the next
18.
One? 18. That's chlorine.
No.
Or argon.
Argon, 18.
And what was... 92 is uranium.
Of course, you must give us the symbols on as we go along here. Now, sulfur.
Sulfur is S.
S.
And
argon.
Argon is A.
A. Uranium.
Is U.
U. And 68 is the last
that's
one.
That's erbium and a CR, sour.
That's right. Hank Sauer. Good boy.
Robinson taking lead off third. There's a peg over to third to get it. It's a miss. It gets away from the third baseman. Robinson is coming in home. There he comes, and the umpire is calling him 16, 18, 26.
Pat?
Well, 16, of course, is sulfur. Again, that's S.
Yes.
And 18 is argon. That's A.
A.
And 26 is iron. That's Fe. So it's safe.
Safe. That's right. And by the way, Pat, what teams were playing?
Oh, the Brooklyn Dodgers and the Chicago Cubs.
That's right. Very, very good. Say, that was a lot of fun, wasn't it? Now, this next question may be difficult for you five boys because it's about girls' clothes. If your best girl wore the following on the first day back to school, what would it be? First, if she wore a pair of shoes whose names might suggest she was lazy, what kind of a shoe would it be? Pat?
Well, that would be loafers.
Loafer, that's right. If she wore a dress that suggested she was an expert at checkers, what kind would it be? Lonnie?
Jumper.
Jumper, that is very good. Uh-huh. Right now, I'd like to introduce a mighty sweet little visitor we have here in our classroom, little 10-year-old Joy Clark. Joy is a 4-H club member and won a trip to the Chicago Fair for a special project she completed for the 4-H club. Would you step up here at the microphone, Joy, and tell us what your project was? Talk right in there, honey.
Flower arranging and sewing.
Oh, two projects?
Yes.
And which of the two do you like the best?
Flower arranging.
You don't like to sew?
No.
Well, folks, I met Joy when I was judging a rope-skipping contest at the Chicago Fair the other day, and Joy was the winner. That is, in the ladies' division. Believe me, she can really skip a rope. I never saw anything like it. She must be a sensation on the playground at her school. And since I invited Joy to visit our classroom to help us with a question, you quiz kids and studio audience will get to see her skip. I have here a math problem about rope jumping, and as I start reading the problem, I'll ask Joy to start jumping rope, and if she follows the directions of the problem, her jumping will serve as a check to see if you quiz kids have solved the problem correctly. Well, first of all, though, who will volunteer to work the problem? Oh, Joel has his hand up. Well, good for you, Joel. I'm glad you're willing to tackle this before you even hear it. You must work it out without pencil or paper. So you can get all set for listening to the problem. And Joy, honey, when I start reading, you start jumping, and we'll see if you can come out according to Joel's solution. All right. In jumping a rope, a girl's pulse gains an extra 6 beats every 5 seconds, and her breathing rate increases by 1 every 6 seconds. She starts skipping forward, but reverses her direction every 20 skips. Every time she reverses her direction, her breathing rate goes up 1. If she makes 120 skips a minute forward, but can only skip 5/7 as fast backward, and gets out of breath and stops when her breathing rate has increased by 31, how many reversals has she made, and in which direction will she be skipping when she stops?
Well, let's see. If she goes 120 a minute, that means for the 20 skips, it takes 10 seconds to go forward that time. And backwards would be 7/5 as much, or 14. So that means every 24 seconds, it would increase 4 for the once every 6 seconds and 2 for the reversals. So that would be 6. So let's see, 5 times the 6 is 30. For the 100, that'd be 120. And then 6 seconds more, that'd be 126 for 31 seconds. So she would have been gone 2 minutes and 6 seconds. And she would have been going, she would be going forward and would have gone 5 times, there would have been a 6th time forward and 5 times, she would have gone 5 times backwards.
Well, now, I'll tell you what. Let's just check with Joy here. Did you end up jumping forward or backward? Huh? Forwards? And was that for the 6th time? Well, let's see. I'll check with my card here. We're a little mixed up insofar as Joy is concerned. Joel, you're absolutely right. Nice going. You know... You know how it is, how you get one jump ahead of somebody else or something like that, and you kids are certainly always one jump ahead of the chief prisoner. Well, I think we ought to give little 10-year-old Joy Clark a big hand for that nice exhibition of skipper. Thank you so much, Joy, and I hope you'll visit us again and bring some of your 4-H Club members with you. Well, now, kids, let's see what our next question... Oh, say, here's a dandy. What radio and television comedian and what big league baseball pitcher have the same name? Harvey.
Earl Wynn and Edwin.
Well, now, wait a minute. What's that? Wait, let's
Earl
check.
Wynn.
The last name is correct. Wynn. Are you sure about his first name, Joel?
Well, it's early win for the Senators, and for the Cleveland Indians. He's a pitcher. I think he's won 16 or 17 games. And the television comedian is Edwin.
Is the what?
Is Edwin.
Yeah, but isn't the pitcher Pat?
Well, I early. Think his name is Earl, I really.
And they
but call
him what?
Early. They call him Early.
Huh?
Early win.
Well, maybe they do, but I... checked up on this, and I thought they called him Ed, but I guess I was thinking in the wrong direction. They really got me off base on that one. Now then, if our organist, Elwin Owen, will help us out at the organ, you kids are going to hear 3 songs. Each one should suggest a famous race in literature. You are to try to identify 2 out of the 3 of the races and tell who took part in them. Here's the first one. Lonnie?
That's Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
So?
That would be the race in Ben-Hur.
That's right.
Well, I'm not sure who participated in that.
Well,
Ben-Hur?
We have some more hands up, Joel.
Well, this is far-fetched, but in the words of the song, it says, if you get there before I do, so maybe it's a race to see which one gets there first.
Well, Lonnie got us started off right there. Ben-Hur was one of the riders, and Masala... was the other one, and Ben-Hur won. Now, how about this next one? Lonnie?
That's Peter Cottontail.
So?
I think the hare and the tortoise would be the race, and then, of course, the tortoise won that one.
That's right, Lonnie. Here's the last one. Lonnie?
Well, a song is an apple for the teacher.
Apple for the teacher?
I'm not sure what race that would be.
There's a certain race.
Oh, wait a minute. There was something in mythology, I believe, about a race for
mythology
the golden apples
right.
Between Atalanta and Hippomenes or something
That's
like that.
That's absolutely right. Good boy, Lonnie. That's very, very good. Now, we all know the 7 dwarfs whistled while they worked, but who in real life whistles when he works? Can you think of anyone? Pat?
Well, that might be the Whistler on radio.
Whistler on the radio? Can you think of anyone else? Joel?
Well, many television performers on these amateur shows, they just whistle as their talent.
That's right. And Lonnie?
A train engineer.
Train engineer? And Pat?
Well, doesn't Morton Downey at the end of his theme song whistle?
Yes, that's right. He gets paid for whistling. And a policeman, cab starters, oh, there are quite a few of them. Now then, you're going to have sharp ears for this question, kids, because the three notes you will hear suggest the initials of a United States president and also a government agency. See if you can name the president and the agency. Let's have the notes. Lonnie.
It's CAA, the president
CAA.
Of Chester Allen Arthur.
Chester Allen Arthur? The agency?
Sure what the agency is, though.
Joel?
Isn't it Civil Aeronautics something or other?
What is this last
Association? Or?
No,
I forget the last.
What else?
Civil
Lonnie.
Agencies.
Huh? No. Well, we won't quibble on that. It's either the Civil Aeronautics Administration or the last word, authority. Now, I know you'll all enjoy meeting another guest who is visiting our classroom for the first time. She's traveled about 4,000 miles from way up in Fairbanks, Alaska. She has a children's radio program of her own, which is broadcast over NBC from station KFAR in Fairbanks, and she was anxious to pay us a visit and meet you children on the Quiz Kids program. And here she is, lovely Miss Maxine Cawthorn. Well, Maxine, we're very happy to have you visit us.
Well, this is a real treat for me. I will enjoy telling the children in Alaska about meeting you and the Quiz Kids.
Well, while you're here, suppose you ask, what did you say, Angus? Well, wait just a minute now. Let me finish here. I'm going to have her ask you Quiz Kids some questions about Alaska. So who would like to, would you like to take over now and be the chief quizzer?
Well, I wonder if you Quiz Kids know how big Alaska is. For instance, how does it compare with the state of Texas?
Austin.
Joel?
It's about 1.5 times the state of Texas.
Anyone else? Lonnie?
I think it's a little more than that. I would say it's about twice the size. It's bigger, of course.
That's right. It's more than twice
Alaska
the size.
Alaska is more to the North Pole. And then there are the penguins. It is very cold and snowy. Do you got any penguins?
You know what he wants to know? He wants to know if you have any penguins in
because
Alaska.
I like them so very much. I like them.
You like penguins?
Yes.
Well, we'll have to see if we can get you a picture of penguins.
Do you have any up around there? I mean, he wants to know.
I think they have more penguins down at the South Pole. We have seals in Alaska, but not very many penguins.
Oh, I see. Well, all right, now let's go along. And Maxine, do you have another question you want to ask?
I might ask another question that's a little tricky. What part of an Eskimo seal hunting equipment begins with a K and ends with a K? Joel?
Well, a kayak. That's the sort of canoe they use.
That's right. It's a skin-covered boat. Well, here's another one. Do you know of any animal... do you know what animal was formerly the sole support of many of the natives of Alaska and has been almost destroyed by the white man? Lonnie?
Well, the walrus, isn't it?
The walrus? I believe there still are some walrus. Pat?
I think the seal. I know they were...
Harvey?
I was going to say the seal, too.
I might... Lonnie?
I'm not sure about this, but could it be the reindeer?
Well, it's a cousin of the reindeer. Can you think of the cousin of the reindeer? Joel?
This is a far-fetched guess, but the caribou?
The caribou's right, Joel.
Well, Maxine, now I'm sure you must know many interesting things about Alaska, and I think, little Angus gave me an idea here. Here's a wonderful idea for you kids to get some real first-hand information about how our friends in Alaska live. So if you have any questions you'd like to ask, I feel sure that Miss Cawthorn would not mind answering them. Pat, would you like to ask a question?
Well, all right. I'd like to know if Fairbanks in Alaska is like runs like any of the cities in America. I mean, do they live the same way, and do they have the same modern...
Do you mean do we have a mayor and a city council?
That's right.
Yes, we do have. Oh. We have a very good mayor and city council. Harvey?
Did you ever drive a dog sled?
Yes, I do. Joel?
Well, would you rather live in Alaska than the States?
Well, if I wouldn't, I probably would live in the States. Lonnie?
Well, what do you think about statehood for Alaska? Do you think they're ready?
I think that I'd better not answer that question. I don't believe I'm qualified to answer it.
Angus, have you thought of another question you'd like to ask, Miss...
Yes, do you got any elephants or dogs or horses in Alaska?
Well, and...
Or something like that, because I want to know it.
Yes, well...
And I want to see Alaska. I want to see it.
I don't believe I ever saw an elephant on skates.
We would like to have you come and see us, Angus. We haven't any elephants, but we have a lot of dogs, and I think you'd like the dogs we have.
Yeah, I like to catch the dogs.
You
said it. Make them dead that I can eat them.
Oh, my God. I think Angus has really wound up this afternoon, isn't he? Well, I just want to say that it was very interesting what you've told us, and thank you very much, Maxine. But before you go, I wish you'd tell the folks what brought you to Chicago.
I am on my way to Atlantic City to compete in the Miss America contest.
Well, good for you.
And just stopped over in Chicago for Alaska Day at the fair.
Oh, you were at the fair here? Well, that was yesterday, wasn't
it? Yes, that was yesterday.
Well, fine. So you're going down to Atlantic City to appear in the finals, and you're going to be Miss Alaska?
That's right. It's the first time that Alaska has sent a Miss Alaska for the contest.
Well, say, that's wonderful, and I'm sure everybody joins me in wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you very much.
Now, this next question asks for some advice from you quiz kids. If you had a friend who would be entering a new school this next Tuesday and felt a little bashful about making new friends, what could you suggest that would help him get acquainted and make friends easily? Who would like to start this off? Joel?
Oh, just remember that the other people are just probably as shy of you as you are of they.
Oh? Just remember that. You think that would help,
yes.
Eh?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And Lonnie?
Well, I have gone to different schools about four times. I went to one of them twice. And I don't know, I...
Well, one of them twice. I had that same trouble when I was a kid.
I don't know. I find that you don't really need to do anything. Things will work out in a couple of days. You'll have some friends that... If you're younger, at recess and everything, if you get into games with them and everything, you'll soon find that you'll have quite a few friends.
Uh-huh. Well, Patrick?
Well, I don't think there's anything to it. I think you should go up and introduce yourself. Or, of course, if you're real shy, maybe if you have a friend there, he could go around and introduce you to the fellas and...
Uh-huh.
So on.
I see. Harvey?
Well, maybe walk if your friend, if somebody lives close to you, walk home and to school with them. And if they need a pencil or something, lend it to them. Crayon.
Well, now say, that's a very good thought, Harvey. Yeah, uh-huh. And how about you, Angus? What would you do? I mean, what would you suggest some little boy that's bashful and a little bit backward, and what would you suggest that he do to sort of help him along?
In the tongue in English, there's lots of noise from all the animals who make all the noises. There's lots of noise on City Street at Grandpa's farmhouse too, and I like any noises if the sounds that I can do. For the pigs go oink, and the dogs go wow, and the kittens go meow, and the chickens cluck, and the ducks go quack, the sounds that I can do.
What? You know, the reason I didn't say anything there, Angus, I thought you were going on like you did with the presidents on the presidential question.
I say that only one time, but I never say two times because we got a letter that stands only one time.
Well, don't hit your microphone like that or we'll be off the air here in a minute. Well, that's fine. Yeah. Angus, he recommends making a lot of noise. That'll help you get acquainted. I think maybe he's got something there at that. Now, let's take this one here. Just last Tuesday, Princess Elizabeth's new baby was christened Anne Elizabeth Alice Louise. Now, since the royal baby's first name is Anne, let's see whether you can name three or more of the Queen Annes of English history. Who would like to tackle this? Joel?
Well, the one that I think I can remember was the one that came after William of Orange. I think she was Queen in around 1660, and she never married. She just held the throne herself.
Well, also,
King Henry VIII was married to Annie of Cleves, and so she became the Queen of England, and she was a German princess.
All right, fine. Now that's two. We have two. Pat?
Well, I think Henry VIII also married Anne Boleyn.
Boleyn, that's right. That's three. Can we think of any others? Well, that's all right. We only asked for three. I said three or more, so that's very good, kids. Now, some of us have trouble trying to eat on a speeding train, but suppose you were trying to eat on a spaceship far from the Earth. Do you think your problems would be greater or lesser? Harvey?
It would be greater, because when it gets to a certain height, there isn't any gravity, and it floats up into the air, the food. And then you even have difficulty in swallowing it, because then you're out of gravity, and it floats right up in the air. You, too, will float up.
I would, too. Oh, my goodness sakes. Now, let's see what's next here. here's a dandy. Here's the one I've been waiting for. Now, I'm going to give you the first initials of a group of characters. I really was waiting for this one. That all appear in the same story, kids. Now, see if you can identify the characters. Now, listen. G, H, D, another D, B, S, and another S. Characters that all appear in the same story. Oh, wait, no hands up. Pat.
That might be the Seven Dwarfs.
The Seven Dwarfs, right, that's right, good boy. Well, you all know what the bell means. There'll be no more questions today, but there will be more questions and more surprises next Sunday. And here are your report cards. Yeah, I have them right here. We mustn't forget to see who won today. Remember, whether you win or lose, you will each receive a $100 savings bond for your future education. Now, as a group, you didn't miss any questions, and after taking into consideration your age as well as the number of questions you answered correctly, the final report is Patrick first, Harvey second, Lonnie and Joel tied for third. So you four, together with Brenda Liebling, age six, will be back to school here in our classroom next week, and I hope all you listeners come back to school with us again next Sunday, won't you? Until then, this is Joe Kelly dismissing the quiz kids. Goodbye, kids.
Bye, Mr. Kelly.
Three times mean good times on NBC. Quiz Kids is produced by Louis G. Cowan. Harold Levy, distinguished musical director of Theater Guild on the Air, conducts the orchestra on the NBC Symphony Summer Concert with soloists Catherine Grayson and John Baker. The American Album of Familiar Music features famous artists under the baton of Gustav Henschen. This weekend, 400 Americans have a holiday date with death. Stay off the list. Be careful. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.